Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 322, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. How shall the young direct their way? And what light shall be their perfect guide? And thy word, O Lord, will safely lead, if in its wisdom they confide. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 322.
Read out of God's holy and precious word, out of the book of Lamentations, there from chapter 3. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Lamentations 3, the first 36 verses. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people, and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we can read and have heard out of thy word of the many afflictions that were laid upon thy servant. And thou knowest that it is a world that has not changed from that day of the fall until this day, lying under that curse because of our own sin. And so it is experienced by both young and old together, so that the needs in this life are so very, very many. And there are those that do hear the sentence come unto them, that they must set their house in order, for they shall die and not live. Oh, we have heard it in these moments, that thou dost not afflict willingly to grieve the children of men. Oh, Lord, then it is our own sin. Oh, that thou wouldst bless the afflictions unto those and to each and every one of us, that thou may remember them in their afflictions, and that thou wouldst cause them to draw near unto thee. Lord, thou must draw us, or we cannot draw near. Oh, we beseech thee then for all those that are needy, those that cannot help themselves, or that thou may give them truly a cry, and that they may experience that he hears the needy when they cry, and that he saves their souls when death draws nigh. Do be thou with all those that are afflicted and sick, and wilt thou look upon each and every one of us. For we do not feel our affliction, our soul's affliction by nature, and we go over this world as those who are so polluted, who are so corrupt, who are dead in sins and in trespasses, and who are traveling to that moment when we must exchange time for a great and never-ending eternity. Oh, bind then the seriousness of life upon our hearts, and while it is still called today, that we may feel something of how great our sins and our miseries are. Oh, that we may need thee as thou hast declared thyself to be in thy holy word, in thy only and dearly beloved Son. Oh, there is water and there is blood. Oh, there is forgiveness and there is washing for the chiefest of the sinners, to take away all our guilt and to wash us from all our corruption, to give us that right to eternal life, and also to make us fit to dwell with thee forever and forever. Oh, Lord, we are such carnal creatures. And we are those that cleave unto the dust, and we cannot get it out of us. But thou thyself art able to give us new hearts of flesh. Remember thou these young people, and they are gathered with us in this afternoon in a special way before thee and the congregation to make a vow. O Lord, we may acknowledge thee, and that thou dost give it in their hearts, the desire to do so in a public way. Oh, we beseech thee, that thou may give it in their heart in this hour, in sincerity and in truth. And wilt thou give that they may be blessed, that thy word may be blessed as members of our congregation. O Lord, that thou wouldst give them also to be a blessing among us, that their lives may yet be a testimony in the midst of the congregation of those who do fear thy name and who do walk in all thy truth. O Lord, wilt thou keep watch over and protect them, and wilt thou look upon their parents also in this hour. O thou knowest also the gladness of the heart of a parent, when our children may walk in the truth. O wilt thou humble their hearts before thee, and wilt thou give gladness, and wilt thou give a prayer, a cry, and that it may be blessed and sanctified. Wilt thou look upon all those that bring thy word this day, over the length, the breadth of the whole world? Gather thou thy church, that it may not increase only in the numbers in an outward way, but that that new birth may be experienced in a way that it has not been experienced now for many years. For, Lord, thou knowest the drought. O Lord, could it please thee to revive thy own work in the midst of the years? Come with thy spirit. Satan is so busy, and he is more mighty than we are. Oh, that thou, who art almighty, and who hast also bruised his head, thou hast taken away his power, and we can read in thy word that thou didst send him into the swine. Oh, Lord, wilt thou send him away also this day? Give thy word place in the midst of us, amongst young and old, that we may receive that spirit of thee, that also the power of heaven, that divine power, may be felt, may be experienced in our hearts, that we may not continue on in our dead condition and state by nature, but that we may receive that life that hungers and thirsts, that pants after thee more than the heart panteth for the brooks of water. Remember thou thy own people. They may say also in this day, as we have read, my strength and my hope that is perished from the Lord. O Lord, give them a little courage. Give them a little token from above, that thou knowest where they are and who that they are, and that thou mayest renew it in their life, that thou may give them also a renewal of that blessed vow of their heart this day, that they may serve thee with all their heart, with all their might, and with all their strength. Look thou upon our children and our youth, and wilt thou give strength in this hour also to bring a little portion of thy holy word. Help us, O Lord, and wilt thou give the unction of thy spirit, and we are helpless without it. Wilt thou do it for thy name's sake, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 51, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Amid the thronging worshippers, Jehovah will I bless. Before my brethren gathered there, his name will I confess. And what follows in all three stanzas of Psalter number 51, and the last collection today is for the Student Support Fund. congregation, the words of our text, which we wish to consider in this afternoon, can be found in the book of Lamentations, the third chapter, the 27th verse, Lamentations 3, verse 27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. So far, the words of our text. Bearing the yoke. First, what it means to bear the yoke. And second, the profit of bearing the yoke in our youth. Bearing the yoke, first, what it means to bear the yoke. And second, the profit of bearing the yoke in our youth. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke. They are the words of Jeremiah. He was the prophet of the Lord, and he spoke by the inspiration of the Lord, and therefore it is the word of the Lord himself. And he speaks about bearing the yoke. Thus, what does it mean to bear the yoke? That is something that was very, very familiar in the time in which Jeremiah lived. Children, that is something that also you would have understood so very well if you lived in the time of Jeremiah. Today, maybe you don't know anymore what a yoke is, but it was very familiar in that time when a bar that was laid over top of two animals, and when a plow or another instrument was connected to this bar, and that bar was strapped around the neck of those animals, and they are then made to do some labor for their owner, for the farmer. Thus, these animals, they are bearing the yoke, and in this way, they may be with their strength of some use unto the farmer. We can read that Elisha, when he was called by Elijah, then he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Thus, 24 oxen, each a pair had a yoke laid upon them. Here we read about a man bearing a yoke. That was also often seen at that time, and that was something that was seen in many other places also, especially in the days of slavery. When such a bar that was placed across the shoulders of a man, and when a burden was placed with hanging from such a bar that he would have to carry. Thus, that yoke that has become for us a symbol of suffering. It has become for us a symbol of bondage. The Lord, by Isaiah, did admonish the children of Israel that they should undo every burden, that they should break every yoke. And that was now the fast that the Lord had chosen, that he would deliver a man from his bondage. And then we can read in the book of Leviticus that the Lord himself is speaking about his own children when he has delivered the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, that he says it in this way, that I have broken the bands of your yoke, and I have made you to go upright. That means, children, he took off the band and that strapped that yoke unto their necks. And that is, he delivered them from their burdens of the Egyptians. Thus, a yoke. Where does a yoke come from? There was no yoke in paradise. There was no burden in paradise. You say that the Lord, He has commanded Adam already in paradise because that law that was written on his heart, that he had to labor for 6 days. And yet that was a labor wherein there was no yoke. There was no sweat of the brow of the face of Adam as he labored there in that way that he was created. Thus, that yoke, that is a direct consequence of sin. It has come immediately upon sin entering into the world, and it was laid by the Lord as a yoke upon man at that time. That was not only the man, that was also the woman, that there would come, we read, hardship, that there would come suffering, that there would come tribulation and affliction. There are none that are exempt from this yoke in the world, although certainly there are some that receive a much heavier yoke than others do receive. And then the Lord, He is calling us to help one another, that we may bear those burdens with one another. And we read here that Jeremiah, that was especially for him, that he was subject to such affliction. He says, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day, and so on. And we have heard this read together. Thus, the weight of the children of Judah that was laid upon the shoulders of Jeremiah, that was already from the days of his youth, because we can read that Jeremiah, he was called by the Lord from the womb, that he may speak unto, that he may preach unto, that he may instruct the children of the Lord. And for that purpose, the Lord has also given him love in his heart for that people, that he may warn that people from the Lord. But they would not listen to him. He knew this because the Lord had said this to him already in his calling. And the Lord has assured to Jeremiah that he had set him as a fenced brazen wall against that whole land. And the Lord promised him, he said, they shall fight against thee, but he said, they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Thus, the hardship that was in the life of Jeremiah, that was prophesied already before that it took place, and that he may know that it was the Lord who had called him to this work, because so it also took place. Because we can read that Jeremiah, he has labored so faithfully among that people of Judah, but they would not listen to him. Thus the enemy, they have come with their threats. And Jeremiah, he has instructed that people what they had to do. But every time again, Jeremiah's word that is put to shame by this people. And so now Jeremiah, he is even by these children of Judah cast, boys and girls, into the dungeon. And why was he cast into the dungeon? Because he had told that people the truth. But they did not want to hear the truth. Do we want to hear the truth? And if that truth is something that we perceive to be against ourselves, then do we desire to cast such a man in the dungeon? And do we cast all of his words unto the wind? Jeremiah. He is called the weeping prophet. Why? Well, because that people, they had received the love of his heart. And then Jeremiah had to watch them. He saw that they would not obey the word of the Lord. And then he saw the enemy come. And he saw them take that people into that land of bondage. And so he may witness all of this. And he wept out of love in his heart unto this people. And thus we have the book of the Lamentations, the weepings of the prophet Jeremiah. The suffering of Jeremiah that is for us a picture. That was also for the children of Israel in that time a picture. That is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because as Jeremiah has borne that entire nation upon his shoulders, and as it were even the sins of that people, that he had to endure that suffering, that pain because of the sin of that people, so Christ also has taken upon him the entire nation of his church. He has taken upon him the sin of that people. And he was already as the all-knowing God. Then it was known beforehand with all of the instruction that he would give, that it would be a rebellious people. It would be a people who did not want to listen unto him. Christ has had a yoke that was placed upon him so heavy that it is not to be compared with any yoke that is placed upon the shoulders of a man in this world, because we read that even the divine nature that was necessary to help him to bear up under this yoke that was placed upon his shoulders. What a wonder that Christ was willing so to come and to receive such a yoke placed upon him, to become, as we read, the suffering servant, of which Jeremiah is here a picture. And why? Well, that was that he may break that yoke from off the neck of his church. To break that yoke off their neck. Thus are there those that carry here a yoke. Did sin ever become unto us a yoke? Do we see any preciousness in that Son of Man as he is going over this world bearing that yoke of his church? That we say, is that now sin? Is that now a yoke which he has borne also for me? Because if we have never felt that yoke in our life, then the preciousness of Christ that has also never been known to us. But when we may experience something of what that yoke is, the weight of that yoke, then the necessity of that mediator that will be in the Lord's time born within our hearts. Thus, Jeremiah, he says, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke. Thus, he is speaking here about afflictions. If you read in the first part, we heard it of this chapter, then you can read of all of the afflictions that the Lord, he has placed upon Jeremiah. And then afterwards, Jeremiah, he says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Thus, Jeremiah, when he speaks of this yoke, he is speaking about those trials and those tribulations which are a consequence of sin. Thus, why? What was the reason that God has placed a yoke upon man after sin has come into the world? Why afflictions? Why trials? Why persecutions? There is good reason for that. Because man must be given to feel something. How evil that sin is. And when the Lord had never placed a yoke upon man, then certainly he had never considered what he had done against the Lord his God. Thus Paul, he says that if ye be without chastisement, whereof he says all are partakers, that is true in a general sense in this world, but that is true in a very special sense in which he means it, of that true church of God, then he says, then are ye bastards and not sons. Jeremiah, he says there will come a day when the children of Israel will bemoan themselves. Did you ever bemoan yourself? He says there will come a day that the children of Israel, they will turn again. And then they will say unto the Lord, they will say, thou hast chastised us, and I was chastised as a bullock that was unaccustomed to the yoke. What is that, children? A bullock that is unaccustomed to the yoke. Well, you can imagine that the first time that such an animal had a yoke laid upon him, that he was not so happy, did not know what this was. It was a weight across his shoulders. And then that animal is trying to throw that weight off of him. And so Israel would say, when they would look back in their life, and they will say, the Lord, he has chastised me, and I have acted like such a young bullock that I did not want to bear the chastisements of the Lord, that I have tried to throw off all that the Lord has placed upon me. But now a farmer, when he will make something of that animal of use to himself, then he will not give up. Just because that animal does not want to carry that yoke, no, then the next day he will lay that yoke on him again. And he will do it again the third day, and he will do it again the fourth day, and he will continue to train that animal under this yoke until that he can lay that yoke on that animal and he is completely still. that he may train him, that he may do labor for him, and that he may be profitable unto him. And thus now Jeremiah, he says, that is not only so with an animal. He said that is also now so with a man. And he says it is good for a man in the days of his youth. And that is our second thought. It is clear from the Bible that the Lord, he has created us for eternity. It is clear that he has created us for spiritual ends. It is clear that he has created us for himself. It is also clear from all the observations of man in this world that man lives not for eternity, but for the time. That man lives not for spiritual things, but for the carnal things. That man lives not for the Lord, but that he lives unto himself. Even grace itself does not completely cure a man of this evil. As long as he is remaining in the flesh, here is now the necessity of the yoke. Here is now also the profit of the yoke. Because without a yoke, then a man in his fallen state, and without a yoke, a man, even after received grace, he is not profitable unto the Lord. He is not for the service of the Lord. And even with that yoke, when a man is still as a young bullock, and he is trying to cast off that yoke, then he remains unprofitable unto the Lord. And therefore the Lord, he must train that people under the yoke. That is, he is as that farmer who does not give up. But when that rebellion that is still there, then he is laying that yoke again. And again, and again. The psalmist, he says, my soul that is even as a weaned child. And so the Lord will have his church to be, that they may be still, and that they may walk according unto his own will. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke. What does that yoke do? That yoke that makes that those animals go in a straight way. They can't go to the right. They can't go to the left. And as long as those animals are under that yoke, they cannot do their own will, but they are doing the will of their master. That is now the intention of the law. That law that the Lord has placed in the heart of man, even in paradise. It was in order that Adam, with his posterity, they may walk in a straight way. And that was to our first parents no burden. It has only become unto them a burden after the fall. Thus that law, that is now that revealed will of the Lord. And what a blessing that it is when a man, he has his heart that is inclined by the Lord, that he may walk according to the will of the Lord. How is that in your heart, congregation? Young people, do you now have that in your heart? How love I thy law. Who wrote that? That was David. It is my meditation all the day. That is the entire word, yes. But that law in a special way. He says, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Thus the Lord is planting in the heart of his children that desire that they may be placed under that yoke and that they may walk according to that will of the Lord. And yet, even in the life of that people, then we see how that desire that could not keep them in and of itself. Because David also is straying away. You read that of all of God's people. You read that of Solomon. He had also that love of that law in his heart. And so we can go from one to the other in the Word of God. And we can see how that even with that law in their heart and the love of that law in their heart, then they are still straying away. There we have the necessity of another yoke. There we have the necessity of the yoke of afflictions, of trials, and of tribulations. What does the Lord do with it? It is in order that that people will not perish. But it is also in order that that people may be of use unto him. Because we are by nature of the earth earthy, and we need to be cured of our carnal heart that is continually with us. And it is often not until the Lord is placing a yoke upon us that our treasure may be no longer here upon the earth, but that our treasure may indeed be placed in the heavens. If we will not willingly follow, it is of the greatest mercy of the Lord that he will place a yoke upon us, that he will bind it, that he will strap it about our necks, in order that he himself may lead us in that way that he himself wills. We are not different than Jonah, and it was the greatest mercy of the Lord that sea that was tempestuous, and that though they rowed hard to bring it to the land, that it was impossible, and that Jonah, he had to go overboard. There is always for us a way to the right hand or to the left hand that we will go. We are like Elimelech. When there was a famine in Israel, and then he takes his family and he goes down unto Moab. And now if the Lord did not strew our way with briars and with thorns, and if the Lord did not hedge up the way of such a man, then he would be lost in the midst of the world. And that with a profession, because he can keep his profession even when he is walking in such a way. It is good for a man, therefore, that he bear the yoke. But Jeremiah, he adds one more thing. He says, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. That he bear that yoke while that he is still young. We have many plans when we are young. You have many plans too, young people. What are all those plans? There are plans that belong to youth. We would not take them away from any youth. There is an expectation in the midst of this world. And that is not only in our children, in our youth, but we as parents, then we are looking for this. And we are looking for their prosperity in the world. We would don them with a coat, as it were, of many colors, to indulge them. There are some children, they have to bear a yoke already when they are very young. And then as parents, then our heart goes out to them. And we would like to take that yoke off of their shoulders. We would like to say, my child, I will take that yoke upon my own shoulders. I would like to bear that yoke myself. But here Jeremiah, he says, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. It is good for a man when he is young that he is not allowed to do whatever he wants to do. It is good for a man that he is bound. It was good for Joseph that his father could not indulge in him further, and that the Lord, he has brought him under the yoke. It is good for our children. It is good for our young people when they go to church. It is good for our young people when they become members, also confessing members of the church. But it is often, if we are honest, but a form until the Lord is coming to place upon us a yoke. And now Solomon, he says, there is no better time for this than when a person is young, that their will may be, as it were, reined in, and that a young person, he may receive a heart that is submissive unto the Lord, that his whole life, that may become a life that is useful unto the Lord, that it may be a life of true conversion, that he may be a man in this world, in the midst of the world, that he may shed a certain light in this world. Such a yoke we cannot place upon a man. We can say we will not indulge in our children. You know, the Pharisees, the Lord Jesus condemned them. He said, you place burdens on men, grievous to be borne, but you will not touch them with one of your fingers. What was now the profit of all the burdens that the Pharisees laid upon the people? They were not profitable. Because when the Pharisees laid a burden, and then they did no service unto the Lord or the people. They did not show the character of God. They would have done nothing but oppress and crush that people and show that the Lord is whom He is not. Those burdens, they will come soon enough. Those yokes, they are when they are placed by the Lord. The Lord knows what He doeth. He knows when to place it. He knows how heavy that it must be. And He knows how long that it is profitable that such a yoke should be carried. We think sometimes, we would say it to the Lord, is that yoke now not really too heavy? And we hear in this week the message that comes to a mother of a large family. And when you stand there, and when you see those children going in to see her, then in your heart, really you say, "Oh Lord, is it not really too heavy?" Peter, he also thought that it was too heavy for Christ Himself. He took out his sword. He said, "Nay, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But Christ, He said to Peter, "Put thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" We read of Christ that that obedience, even though He were a Son, the Son of God, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. Or if He had borne such a yoke, then who are we to rebel and to cast off, an attempt to cast off, as a young bullock, those yokes that the Lord is placing upon us? Oh, that the Lord may give to us each one instruction, that we may be brought under by those yokes in a submissive way unto the Lord, that we may be useful unto Him, that our whole life may be for Him, not to go to the right or to the left, but everything according unto His holy will. Then there is profit. Then there is profit in His word. Then there is profit in every affliction and in every yoke. May the Lord so grant His blessing. Amen. Let us now sing Psalter 174, 1 and 2. O all ye peoples, bless our God. Aloud proclaim His praise, who safely holds our soul in life and steadfast makes our ways. 1 and 2 of Psalter 174. I now ask those who wish to make confession of faith to arise and to answer the following questions. First, do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church, which you have learned, heard, and confessed to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation, conforming with the sacred scriptures? Second, do you promise, by the grace of God, to continue steadfastly in the profession of this doctrine, and to live and die in accordance therewith? Third, do you promise at all times to conduct yourself conformably to this doctrine, faithfully, honorably, and beyond reproach, and to adorn your confession with good works? Fourth, do you promise that you will submit to admonition, correction, and church discipline in the event which God forbid that you may become delinquent either in doctrine or in life? What is your answer, Zachary Andrew Busicom? Veronica Christine Brunn, Stephen Garrett Fader, John Andrew Sinke, Michaela Ray Sinke, Richard Marinus Sutendal, Rianne Megan DeLeo, Andre Cornell Van Driesten, Mariah Irene Van Driesten, Colin Thomas Van Driesten, Thane Jared Van Driesten, Emily Tiara Alleman, Jessica Caitlin Van Herk, Megan Sherry Van de Breinhorst. Dear friends, you in this moment have placed yourselves under a yoke. And that is a good thing. It is a yoke by way of a vow before the Lord and before this congregation. Jeremiah says, it is good that a man bear the yoke in his youth. By that vow, you promise to go in a straight way. You promise not to go to the right and not to go to the left. That is, in doctrine, in your profession, and in the practice, in the walk of your life. That is your vow. I hope and I think that you feel the impossibility of this, because really that promise, that is to walk on the narrow way, on the narrow way that leadeth unto life. And who is now able to keep such a promise? And therefore, you need to ask the Lord for his help, for true conversion, that you may be able by his strength to walk in that way. But if the Lord will now hear you, then it can very well be, if he will answer you, that he will place upon you a yoke, because we do not walk in his way. Confession of faith that does not cure us of our half-hearted religion that we are so satisfied with of ourselves. A religion by which our conscience that is set at ease, but there is no true worship of the Lord. Confession of faith does not give us to cry to God. As you read in Psalm 107, then they cried to God. Another yoke was necessary for that. You read, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. That was a yoke that he placed on them. Because confession of faith, that does not cure us of a dry profession. We often need another yoke for this. And thus, if we ask the Lord now to help us to go according to that promise that we have vowed in this afternoon, then we also should not be surprised if the Lord would bring such a yoke in our life. Then to seek the profit of that yoke, that I may feel something of the weight and of the evil of sin, in order that I may be profitable, not just to myself in the midst of this world, but that I may be profitable unto the Lord himself. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Thus it is a good thing that you take this yoke upon you. And it is a good thing if the Lord will also lay his yoke upon you in your youth. Reverend Kite, when he became old and he was sick and weak, and then he said, I am glad that what had to take place in my life, that has already taken place in my life. And so he may look back into the days of his youth. And we hope that the Lord may also grant his blessing upon the instruction that you have received and the instruction that you may receive in the preaching of his word and the reading of his word each Sabbath day here in his house. And that you may also be a blessing among us. So be it. Congregation, receive these young people as confessing members in your midst. Be faithful to encourage them and to admonish them, because they have been instructed as the way ought to be, that we admonish one another as a people, that we are watching over one another as a people as we go through this world with a concern for the souls of one another. And thus our life, that is not just a private life, but we have also a community life, we have a church life. We are in that sense a family. And if there is love in our hearts for one another, and then we will encourage and admonish one another, and that we walk in that straight way. You know, we can ask ourselves also this day, what is now the profit of the yoke that we have taken upon ourselves, and perhaps those yokes that the Lord has laid in our life? Have they brought us to that place where we stood in need of the Lord? The Lord Jesus himself, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. Have you found rest in his yoke? He says, my yoke is easy and my burden that is light. What is now easier to have laid upon us than a yoke of free and sovereign grace? What is now easier? and what is now lighter than a burden of gratitude? That is a light yoke. It is an easy burden. May the Lord give that these young people and all of us together may experience and know what that yoke and that burden is. We now ask you to stand and to sing Psalter 400 on behalf of these young people, the third stanza, 400, stanza 3. Happy is the man that chooses Israel's God to be his aid. He is blessed whose hope of blessing on the Lord his God is stayed. 400, stanza 3, standing. Let us now close with a word of prayer. Almighty, eternal, and all-knowing God, who art the witness of that which has taken place in these moments, that it may never be for the condemnation of these young people, but that it may be for their eternal welfare. And thou dost give it in their hearts to do it. We now ask of thee, and that thou may fulfill for them what they cannot fulfill, and give unto them that life, that new life, which will never end. Wilt thou humble us under thy goodness, unto us also as a congregation, and when thou givest these desires unto our youth, and wilt thou look upon us in the rest of this day and in the week that is to come? Do spare each and every one from a sudden and an unprepared death, and wilt thou teach us out of thy word? Give us thought and meditation thereupon. Cause us to number our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, with thanksgiving for thy help in this afternoon hour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 421, stanzas 3 and 4. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art, and thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling. 3 and 4 of Psalter 421. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.